Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today will be taken from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So this summer into the fall, we are talking about building on God's promises. And the idea, of course, is that we build our lives not on the unsure and uncertain promises of this world, but rather on the sure and certain promises of God. And we've already talked about a number of those promises already, such as you are made in the image of God, which speaks about who you are, your self-image, about your being loved by God and redeemed by God. Secondly, we talked about God hears and answers your prayers, which gives you confidence to be able to relate to God and pray to Him, asking Him for those things that you need. Third, we talked about being heirs of God, which means that you are part of God's family. You have access to the resources of the family even before you receive that gift of heaven in the future, here and now. You're able to tap into those resources of the kingdom of God. Last week we talked about grace, that God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that reminded us that this is the way that we relate to God in humility. Today we're going to add another promise to our list, another piece of that foundation. And today we're going to talk about power from the Holy Spirit. And very frankly, you need power from the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that was evident this morning as we were reading our gospel. Now that's a passage that comes immediately after last Sunday's gospel. Remember what we were talking about last week? It was humility. Jesus had been invited to a Pharisee's house, and as he was there, he was observing, and they were all jostling for the seat of honor. And Jesus then tells a parable. And he pulls him and says, you know, when you go, you're invited to somebody's house, he said, don't take the seat of honor. Because you know what's going to happen? The host is going to come along to you and say, friend, step aside because there's somebody here more important than you that needs to take that spot. And you will be humiliated as you are sent down to the lowest place. He said, instead, when you come, take the lowest seat so the host may come to you and say, friend, move up, and then you will be honored. Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say that when you have a party or a gathering, don't just invite those people who can repay you. Don't just invite those people who are thought well of so that you can get an invitation back to their house and be a part of the popular group. No, take care of those who are in need. Invite the poor and the needy, the lame and the blind. Invite them as well. You see, what Jesus is saying is that humility is not just about not exalting ourselves, but it is about service. Service to others. Service to those in need. We're going to see that's where our sermon for today is going to end as well, that very same point. But today's gospel then picks up right where that reading left off. And it starts out by saying that great crowds were accompanying Jesus. So we see that Jesus is doing exactly what he talked about last week. You know, the invitation, because those people who were following him were not the elite, but rather they were the common folks. They were the people who were in need, who were sick, who were lame, who were in need from Jesus for many, many reasons. And they were following after him. You might think, well, great. You know, this is wonderful. Jesus is really popular. And that Jesus might have stopped and said, okay, let's just make it really easy for these people to follow me. But you see, there's a temptation in that because it's not about popularity, right? That's not what Jesus was looking for. But rather, he was looking for disciples. And so when he spoke to the crowds who were following after him, he did just the opposite. And he began to talk about commitment, the commitment of discipleship. and how it's not so easy. And as a matter of fact, those words that Jesus spoke are even a little bit offensive. They're hard to hear. And maybe especially for our sensitive 21st century ears. Remember what Jesus said? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we say, wait a minute, Jesus, did you say hate? Well, that's not a good word. We don't hate. We may not like certain things, but we don't hate. It's hard for us to hear, isn't it? What does this mean? We say. And so sometimes we spend a lot of time in sermons trying to explain this. Maybe make it a little bit easier using euphemisms. And I've done that. And I guess it's important to a certain extent to be able to understand. But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just leave it as it is. That's what we're going to do today. I'm just going to leave it there. As hard as it is to hear that. Yes, Jesus said hate. Hate your father, your mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters. Oh, and by the way, yourself too. Your own life. Well, there goes self-esteem, huh? That's not all he talks about, though. He goes on in the next verse. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's another not so nice word, cross. We whitewash it a little bit today, don't we? We say it so often, we really don't think so much about what it means, but can we stop for a moment and think about that today? Especially in Jesus' day, what the cross meant. When we think about Jesus as he bore his cross, what had just happened, what was going on, you know, that he had been unjustly condemned, he was mocked and spit upon and beaten and struck and abused, and then he was turned over to the guards and he had 40 lashes less one, half dead, condemned. Here, carry your cross through crowds of jeering people. You deserve what you get, scum, as he was going to Golgotha. Really no worse place he could be, except for perhaps what comes next, actually being on the cross. And Jesus says, yeah, you know, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Hard to hear, isn't it? Oh, and one more thing down in verse 33, just to cap it all off, Jesus said, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. All. Sacrifice everything. Yes, family. Yes, pleasures, ease of life. Yes, your own life. All things. And so Jesus says, I just want you to understand, this is what discipleship's all about as we begin. So count the cost. Count the cost. Don't start if you can't finish. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Can you finish? Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Count the cost. So have you counted the cost? You who are here today because you're Jesus' disciples, have you counted the cost? What it takes to finish? Do you have the resources? Can you do it? Not partway, all the way. Really? No shortcuts, no cheating. Can you do it? I'm perceiving a few doubts. There are doubts here too. As I look at those demands, the requirements, I wonder. Matter of fact, I think back on my life and I know, you know, I've started out and I haven't been able to. I've fallen flat. Didn't have the resources to get through to do what needed to do be done. But I tell you what, I don't follow Jesus because I've counted the cost and found out that I'm able to do it. I follow Jesus because I've counted the cost, found out I'm lacking, and I know that I need help. I need Jesus' help. That's why I follow Jesus. Because I know that there is help there and that He will enable me to go the distance. I can't do it alone. That's why we follow Jesus. And that's our promise for today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, there's the gospel, there's the answer. God will give you what you need so that you can be His disciple. The story behind that verse then is, of course, Jesus' ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has risen from the dead, and it's about 40 days later. He gathers together with His disciples, and they're wondering what's going on. You know, what's going to happen next? Jesus has kind of been in and out. You remember, He's ascended, He's risen. He's not with them all the time. He's kind of weaning them off that time when He's not going to be with them anymore, but He's there and He's teaching them. And then all of a sudden, He begins to rise up off the ground and up into the sky and up into the heavens and through the clouds, and He's gone. Now they're really bewildered. What in the world's going on? What does this mean? But just before He had left, Jesus said to them, I want you to stay here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay here in Jerusalem, and I will send the gift of the Holy Spirit upon you. And sure enough, about 10 days later, as they're gathered in Jerusalem and they're praying, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Rushing wind, tongues of fire, and they begin to speak. And other people hear in their own languages, so a miracle of both speaking and hearing. The gospel is proclaimed to those folks, and they believe the gospel. 3,000 come to faith. And you see, this is the turning point. Those people, the disciples, the new disciples, they're never the same. And they're able to follow Jesus because of the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon them. And this is the very same Spirit that is given to you. Given to you through the Word, in baptism, received by faith. The power to follow Jesus and be His disciple. Let's remind ourselves this morning, very briefly, what it is that the Holy Spirit does. We can go to John chapter 3, and there we learn that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us faith, enables us to enter into the kingdom of God. Because remember, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus there, and He says, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Baptism, the gift of the Spirit. That's how you enter into the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that faith, enabling us to do that. John chapter 14, just before Jesus is arrested, so it's Monday, Thursday, He's teaching His disciples, teaches them a lot about the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to be gone, but I will give you the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, teaches. He will teach you all things, and He will remind you of those things that I have said to you. Holy Spirit teaches us the truth of God. Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul says, you know, sometimes when you're praying, you don't even know what to pray for. you're just kind of at your ends. You're not sure how to pray, what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit, He will intercede on your behalf in deep groans and sighs according to the will of the Father. So the Holy Spirit helps you in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's talking about the body of Christ. All right? There's many members, one body. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And He gives all kinds of gifts. There's a variety of gifts. And no one person gets them all, but rather they're divided. And each one, every person gets one, at least one. Why? For the edification of the body, so that you can serve one another. So you see, we're coming right back around to the subject of serving. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Brings us to faith, teaches us the faith, empowers us to be able to serve one another. As we end this morning, we recognize there's a little bit of danger here and a lot of encouragement. A little bit of danger because every time we hear that word power, we got to be careful. Power, yeah, give me some. I could use some of that. I like that. Power makes me able to do stuff. I can gain some advantage. It helps me. And whoops, all of a sudden you've seen the lust switch has been flicked on and you're thinking about self and not about service, not about others. So we do have to be careful about power, even when we're talking about power of the Holy Spirit, okay? This is not about us. It is about serving God and serving others. But the encouragement is that this is how you can live for God. Jesus tells us to count the cost, and we see that the standards are high. And we count the cost, and we realize that we don't have what it takes. And so we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, Jesus, give us your Spirit, your power, that we might walk in faith with you, that we might renounce all things, that nothing would come before you. No, not even our family, not our ease of life, not even our own life. That we would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and be able to follow you. This is what God does. This is the promise that He makes to you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Jesus' name.